President's Day. Happy President's Day to you and yours.
I know people like Christmas. I get it. But is there a better holiday than President's Day, Wendy? It's the best.
I wish traffic was like this every day. I will say it was. I don't mind working when you can get to work in half the time.
A fraction of the time, yeah. Are you going to go caroling after the show? I am.
I am.
Yep. What songs will you sing?
I will sing "The First President Was George Washington."
Keep going.
He had big wooden teeth and loved everyone.
This is a tear. Can you see my eye?
I know you're welling up.
I'm tearing up. I'm tearing up. Oh.
He wore a wig and cool tights.
Keep going.
And buckles of brass.
Stop. I know this won't end well. I know it won't.
There you go. My impromptu song. You're very welcome, everyone.
I saw a couple of documentaries over the weekend, one of which I know you highly recommended, and this is about the Fire Music Festival from 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 3 years ago?
Might have been 2 years
which
ago.
Which is really, in the history of music festivals, the darkest of moments. And there's two, I know that there are two documentaries. I chose the one on
Netflix,
because the other one's on Hulu, I think, and I don't have Hulu. I thought I did, but we don't.
I do. I watched them both. This one, the Netflix one's better.
It really is an educational exercise in doing everything wrong. It's amazing how a guy could possibly screw up to the point he screwed up. I don't want to give too much away, but if you have a chance, see it. It's called Fire.
Right. F-Y-R-E.
Yeah.
And Ja Rule is involved with this Billy McFarlane, I think is his name.
Young entrepreneur.
Who is not a very good businessman, I got to tell you.
No, as it turns out, he ended up not being a good businessman.
You thought at first, I mean, it's like, wow, this kid's a mover and a shaker at 20-something.
Right.
But Ja Rule was kind of pulled into it somehow. And really, all I saw Ja Rule do was just party.
With models.
I
get the feeling he's done that before.
Well, yeah, but, you know, and that's the illusion. It was a whole social media thing, basically.
Right.
You thought you were going to hang with these models, see these great bands, go into the Bahamas. You get these awesome villas that you're going to be staying in. And these tickets were not cheap.
No.
People were spending.
It started at $4,000 and went up from there.
A lot of people, it showed how much they spent. Some people were spending $49,000
for a nightmare.
I just can't even believe it. But news as of a couple of days ago, Ja Rule claims he's planning another fire festival.
Oh, good. This will work.
Like event.
Boy, if you strike out that badly.
And he didn't even get charged with anything.
No. He was a partner in it. But mostly just lending his personality to it all.
Right. You know? And Billy McFarlane's in jail.
Yes. For 6 years, did they say? Is that
something
right?
Like that. He really scammed people, man.
Wow. Big time. All right. So I watched that. And then I also watched this thing that's on HBO about Nick Bonacani, who played for the Dolphins during their undefeated season. He had quite a few great years with the Dolphins. I think it's called The Three Worlds of Nick Bonacani. I think. If it's not, I'm close. Anyway. It's on HBO, and it shows this guy who, I have to say, I lost track of. When he stopped being a football player, he became a commentator there on ESPN. And then when that ended, I didn't really see him for a while, and I wasn't prepared for the version of him that now exists.
Oh.
He has dementia. And yet there are times, and I know how it manifests itself differently in people. With him, he'll sit there and be extremely profound for a while and have all of his faculties, and then it'll just fall off the table, you know? But they showed the relationship he has with his son, Mark, who was playing football and was paralyzed. Did you know that part of it?
No.
That's a horrible end of part of the story. But everything about it is just kind of sad, because when I think of him, he was just this unstoppable NFL player. He played for the Dolphins. Just unstoppable. This giant of a man. And now he's very small. He's lost a lot of weight, and his mind is just not quite there. And I was not prepared to see him that way. I wouldn't have recognized him. Like when I first started watching it, I missed the first few minutes and they showed him, And I went, oh, no, Don Shula looks horrible. I thought it was his coach, but it's not.
He looks, because I'm looking at an old picture of Nick Buonaconte, and I remember him. He was very handsome, big, burly, dark-haired.
Yeah.
And now he looks like this slight white-haired man.
Would never recognize him. If he was sitting next to me,
doesn't look like his face.
No. Nope.
Oh, that is so sad.
But his other son makes a point of talking about how they were a family that lived for football. They loved football. And he said, and look what has happened to our family because of football. My dad can't think clearly. My brother is paralyzed in a wheelchair. So, you know, what a love-hate relationship that family, and I assume a lot of people have with the game of football. You got to see this. God. I know you were also a Dolphins fan.
I was
in the 70s.
Yes.
So watch this, because, you know, it keeps delving in and out of that into what's happening today with him.
And I remember him as an announcer, too, didn't I? Or no?
He was on ESPN. I don't remember him doing games. Oh. Maybe he did, but I don't remember. He might have, but I remember him being, you know, a host on ESPN and really good. And I don't remember, something happened that broke that up, and they talk about it a little bit on this documentary, but not a lot. And I think what happened was, because he was devoting so much time to his son's situation, that ESPN was not thrilled with him, saying, "Hey, you got to be
That's
in studio."
Terrible.
I know.
And your buddy Liev Schreiber narrates it, right?
Yes, I think he does.
Is he funny?
Always. He's on. In a little while, we're going to go over this list of the 30 best stand-up comedians of all time.
He's at the top.
Liev Schreiber, number 8. How could that be?
Oh, this! I will watch this.
You got to see it, but be prepared to be saddened by it, because it really is. It's so. I mean, we've talked about this before. You know, when you're going into the NFL, that there's going to be a trade-off. You're going to be very rich. You're going to be very famous, but the trade-off is, your mind is never going to be the same again.
And your body. We just saw Ed Obradovich, who was in here with Dan Hampton on Friday. And God bless OB. I mean, he has difficulty walking. His hips, his knees.
Oh, yeah.
Poor thing.
But when I think...
Still looks great, though.
You know what?
He's a handsome guy.
He is. He's a very handsome guy. So I know he's had interaction with your family over there, or with your husband's family.
Yeah,
Jimmy's
my in-laws.
Right? But he's friends. Another guy that, when I think about him, it's this larger than life monster
big, beefy.
Of a guy.
He's still pretty big, Bill.
Yeah, I saw him sitting down.
Yeah, he's still pretty big, but doesn't move as quickly.
No, I can imagine not.
And he's like the, you know, silver fox now, or white fox. His hair is very white.
It's always strange when you put these guys in. I mean, and I know the 70s was a long time ago. I understand that. That's when he played for the Bears, in the 70s. But I always think about these guys. If somebody says his name, or Nick Bonacani's name, or somebody, I think about them. They're locked in that era for me, and then they show up, and they're 45 or 50 years older.
I know. It's weird.
It
doesn't register.
It just doesn't register.
I got it.
Oh, hi. Are you that guy's dad? Are you that guy's grandpa? No, I'm that guy. Oh.
Oh. Well, at least when you say that, it's not good or bad. It's just, oh.
It's just an amazing, oh. But I bet if somebody knew me in the 70s, and then they see me and they go, well, you're not 11 anymore. And I'll go, no, I'm 12. I aged a year. Get ready for it.
I found some old pictures. I got to bring them in when we were at Q101. There's a lot of pictures of you and Ross Silverberg, our old producer.
Our producer at the time.
And I don't know. I look like an idiot. What I was wearing and my hairstyle, I feel like I've had the same hairstyle forever. I had some bad ones. I had it really bad.
You for people who don't know, you always wore a Wham shirt, which I applaud you for that, because a lot of people go, I'll wear a Wham shirt every once in a while. But you said, no, I'm always going to wear a Wham shirt.
I just can't. I just had some bad clothing choices. I don't know what it was. I'll blame it on the 90s.
Yeah, you could do that.
You look exactly the same.
Do I?
I'll bring these. I keep meaning to bring them in.
Hmm.
But you look. You haven't aged, and you look better now.
Oh, well, I take better. I seriously do take better care of myself.
Do you
now
take
than
Geritol every morning?
Not every morning.
Remember that? I take care of myself. I take Geritol every morning. God.
Sometimes we have in our bedroom, we have two wedding pictures. And Terry will turn them around and I'll say, why is the wedding? And she'll go, because you look exactly the same and I look older. And you've seen Terry. She looks pretty darn good. So much better. I mean, don't get me wrong. She looked great then, but she looks fantastic now. Geritol every morning. That's the key.
Yeah, the key is diffusing it with saying something funny.
Diffusing it, right. There's a story I want so badly to tell you now, but it has to wait till tomorrow.
Why?
I wanted to do this at the beginning of the show. You know, we started talking about the Bozo special at the beginning, so I didn't have a chance. But I wanted to tell you this, but we don't have time for this because we've got this list of the 30 comics. Can I give you a hint at it? This is a hint, but I want to do this on tomorrow's show.
All right. On the radio show or on the stream show?
I think radio show.
Do we have room? Can we fit it in on a Tuesday?
looks like there's an opening. I think we have an opening.
Well, you know, if you want to give me a hint, you can. If not, I can just wait till
tomorrow. I'll just tell you really, really quickly. Oh, I feel guilty. Well, all right, I'll do this anyway. Terry was out of town all weekend. She was in Boston with one of my daughters, with Kylie.
So and you were recently, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Reese was here to help you out.
Yeah, yeah.
Show you how to turn a faucet on and things like that.
Move this.
Open the refrigerator,
Yeah, you got to lock the door at night. Yeah, she's good with that. So we went to one of our favorite... I should tell you this tomorrow because there's no way we can get this done in time. We go to one of our favorite pizza places. She remains in the car. We're close to the front. So I brought her so that I could just run in.
Right.
I could double park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was in the driver's seat
in the passenger seat, but with the keys. So if somebody came along and said, we need you to move. It was very cold and snowy yesterday. So the plan was pull up as close to the door as I possibly can. Run out.
Okay. Run in, run out.
Right. So I get the pizza. I'm coming out. And I see right in the front door of the restaurant. So there's a stair. You come out. There's a stair down and then the street level. So coming up that stair and then running around by the door is a mouse, a good-sized mouse. And she
Outside?
Okay. Outside. And she also sees it, and I see her in the car with her hands up in the air. And I come in, and she goes, you saw that, right? I said, I did see that. She goes, well, I'm out. I go, what are you out
of? She's not going to eat that pizza.
There's no way. And I go, why? And she goes, because if you saw one mouse in the doorway, that means there's plenty of other mice that you didn't see. I go, it's
although it was on
possible.
The outside,
it was on the outside. But even on the inside, I would just assume, and I don't like mice.
No, but you like mice. The pizza.
Love the pizza. But I would just assume that on a cold, snowy evening, a mouse said, I'm just going to go inside for a moment, and then I will resume my mouse career on the outside once I warm up a little bit.
That's a very well-mannered mouse,
by the
way.
I read a whole bunch of kids' books.
If you give a mouse a pizza...
So she would not eat any of the pizza. And she said to me, she goes, I can't believe you're still going to eat it.
I can't believe it either. You won't eat anything I've made because I have a dog and there might be dog hair, which I wouldn't eat anything I make either now with Kona. He sheds a lot
too
more than
shedding.
Tiki did.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You paid for it. You had your heart set on a pizza.
I did.
I mean, I would have just eaten it, too. I can't believe she didn't have any.
And she not only didn't have any, but all throughout the meal, she kept saying, you're really eating that. And I go, yeah, I am really eating it. She goes, you know that mice love cheese. And I mean, I didn't have to think about that. I knew that already.
They like peanut butter, too.
They also, and I do, too. I'd be a great mouse. Like, all things mice like, I also like.
You're kind of quick.
But she, thank you. And furry sometimes.
I don't.
She
know.
She was so incensed that I would still eat the pizza, and I kept saying sometimes. Now, honestly, if I saw it in the restaurant, I would say, I'm going to cancel this order. Look what's on the floor. There's a mouse. But the mere fact that it was on the outside, that was enough for me to make up this fake storyline that it was just cold and looking for a place. But it wouldn't go inside. It knows better than to go inside. I know that's not true, but I could lie to myself.
Yeah, but I find it odd that it was just out and about.
Yeah,
and
just walking, like doing like a weird figure eight in front,
poisoned,
trying
then.
To figure out. Poisoned?
Maybe. If it was walking all listlessly and in a circle.
I think more so because it was so snowy and icy.
Yeah, but they're not usually just out. They're like where you'd see it.
Right. They like to remain hidden.
And if people are coming in and out of that doorway, that is not a good place for it. So something was wrong with it.
Yeah.
But did you get sausage on your pizza?
No, I had mouse on my pizza. I said, could you do the mice, but do it shredded really thin. I don't like the big chunks of mouse. I like the thin sliced mouse.
All right, that's gross. I was just going to say, boy, I thought their ground pepper was ground a little more fine because, you know, the little
to
turds.
To elude the... Oh, yeah.
This is a coarse grain, coarse ground pepper. Mmm, tastes like mouse.
No.
So what did Reese eat then? Because you don't have a ton of food in your house.
No, there's always stuff. Our house is filled. Now, I grew up in a house that had nothing but sweets and snacks. But in the house that I live in now with my wife and my daughters, it's all healthy stuff. And they're so on board with that. Like for me, like if I would have taken a stand and go, that's it. I saw a mouse by the road. I'm not eating their food. I'd be dead right now. I would have starved to death by now. But she can always find
something to whip up.
Something, yeah.
We never have anything in our house
anymore.
Don't you?
If it came to it and we were just inside and couldn't go anywhere, my wife and both of my daughters could live comfortably for a week. I'd be gone the first day.
Well, we have soup and stuff like that and pasta and frozen vegetables. Mm-hmm. I guess we do have some stuff that's in the freezer that we could thaw.
That would help you survive?
You know, when in doubt, the best dinner, grilled cheese.
Yeah. Is it?
I mean, it's easy. It's
I don't
there.
Think I've ever had it for dinner. I've had it for lunch a couple
you
times.
You sound like my son Dylan. It's like, let's
more.
Have soup and salad. He said, soup is not a dinner.
I agree with him.
I don't agree. You can eat. Don't you sometimes have waffles for dinner? I know. You never had any breakfast item for dinner ever?
I have, but it's been a long time. But I couldn't just have either. Like soup for dinner is like, okay, now we've had soup, and now what shall we have?
How about soup and a grilled cheese?
No. Why would we need more?
That's what he said. He's like, grilled cheese is a lunch staple.
He's right. It is a lunch. That's a lunch food.
You eat what you get. With or without mouse droppings.
Can we have the mouse on? Because I want to talk to the mouse. Can we have the mouse on at some point? Tomorrow.
Did you get his name? Did you give him your card? You used it as shelter.
Yeah, I did.
You just bend it in half, and there's his little house.
Yeah, it worked out nicely. All right, we'll take a break, and then there's more show. After the news, we'll discuss who are the 30 best stand-up comedians of all time. I so disagree with this list, Wendy.
I can't wait to do it.
That's coming up.
What's Hot and What's Cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man.
Mark.
All right, it's Bill and it's Wendy, and we have someone we're going to add to the show who's sitting in for Kim today. Although,
Wendy, every President's Day we bring in Don Kleppen. That's been a tradition of yours and mine since 1973, and it's not going to change anytime soon.
I love it. Yeah.
It's what my was favorite his tradition for show this. On the stream? Remember? Was
Don Kleppen's Polka Corner?
No, it was Cajun Corner.
Cajun Corner.
Yeah, I burnt everything on that show. Yeah, it was fun. It was
including bridges with management.
Exactly, which is why, right. You know, they barely allow me back in here. But yeah.
Thank you, Don Kleppen.
Thanks, Don. Are you going to stay or are you leaving? You're free to stay if you want to, but if you have more pressing business, go ahead.
Do they need you in the newsroom?
Yeah, I'm going to go try and fix. I'm going to go try and finish those push-ups I was doing earlier.
Right. Yeah. This came up on the Steve Cochran show this morning that if you can do 40 push-ups in a row, you have a less likelihood of having a heart attack.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's heart health, and so yeah, I'm.
And how many did you achieve?
I got 39.
That's the
worst.
What
the hell happened?
That's so sad. You missed by one.
Yeah, no, that's it. And I was sitting there screaming at myself mentally to do it. And I just ran completely out of willpower, out of any power.
One away, though.
All right, Bill, be honest.
Yes.
You could drop down and do 40 right now, because that's a lot.
No, I can do without a doubt. Do you remember the last
time? Yes, I did. I did, too. Shut up. We had a push-up contest. But
we our contest was with clapping push-ups.
Oh, wow.
No, mine wasn't. I think I did two.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe three. I think two, though.
Two.
And you did, like...
150.
You did not.
I did a bunch. I don't remember how many.
I got to tell you, 40 is a lot to just drop and do, and you did 39. I am blown away.
But that's like I would have rather you did four because you were so close.
Yeah,
it's like missing the lottery by one number.
But it motivates me now where I'm like, I was just thinking, I used to do push-ups when I'd wake up in the morning. It's been a while since I did that. Now I'm like, I'm going to go back to doing that because I need to hit 40.
Oh, yeah,
it's motivation because I was right there.
Yeah.
If I was far away, I think it would have been like, whatever.
Right.
Jasmine, how many push-ups could you do? Because you're in great shape.
I'm not sure anymore. I used to be like, you remember in high school, they were like most push-ups, most sit-ups. That was me, but I don't know anymore.
Did you win the Presidential Physical Fitness Awards?
I don't think so.
No. I don't know if they had them. I had patches.
They had them when we were kids.
Not Jasmine.
Oh, Jasmine. No, they probably stopped.
Yeah, they probably stopped.
They should do that for President's Day.
Yes,
now,
they should.
Like, have presidential fitness competitions for everybody.
Right.
I should have worn my track jacket with all my Presidential Physical Fitness Awards on the side.
Woo.
Maybe because our current president isn't that physically fit, though, it might kind of cancel itself out.
And he might be upset.
He would be furious.
The whole country's out there getting fit. And
you saw the thing about him with Saturday Night Live, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's not happy with SNL. Mm-mm. Said that there needs to be an investigation.
Mm. I'm surprised that he stopped there and didn't go straight for national emergency.
Right.
About SNL.
This counts. Mm-hmm. This should be a national emergency.
Right.
But how does he not know he's being made fun of on The Daily Show and on This Week Tonight and on Fallon's show and on Jimmy Kimmel's show and any show that does anything comedy related? He's being made fun of. He's not aware of that?
I guess not. Maybe it's only, you know, what he watches or what comes across the palate.
He knows what's going on.
I guess.
He has his own narrative.
I know.
Indeed.
Speaking of comedians.
Yeah, speaking of comedians.
Don,
thanks for filling in today.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Really appreciate it. All right. So the website is newarena.com. We know them best from this list. They have ranked the 30 best stand-up comedians of all time. Let me stress those words, the 30 best stand-up comedians of all time. I agree with them on many of their choices.
I can't wait to hear them.
There are some that they are just out and out wrong on. Number 30 is Amy Schumer.
Can I just tell you, I adored her and loved her and
Past tense?
Yeah, I don't find her to be as stimulating to me anymore.
Because why? What happened?
I guess maybe the alleged her stealing material kind of like is in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
And you know me, I am hardly a prude. I don't care about dirty language, but sometimes I feel she just says stuff to do the shock and awe campaign where it is dirty, but not necessarily funny.
Yeah. And this is a recent development.
Well, within the probably since rumors of her stealing material came out.
That was troublesome. A
couple years ago, two or three years ago,
several comedians said that she has a propensity to borrow various bits.
She just doesn't need to do that.
No, she doesn't.
She was funny enough on her own, but then it just got, you know, if you say the word vagina, then it's like, oh, yeah, that's hysterical. But it isn't. You got to have funny things around
that,
it.
Stole that from Sarah Silverman.
You're right. Who I now, conversely,
yes?
I didn't like her. I thought
and
she
now
was.
You do.
And now I do.
Did she take Amy Schumer's spot?
No.
No.
There's room for both of them in the world.
Yeah, you could have them both.
And I may like Amy Schumer again, but right now she's not doing anything for me.
All right. She is ranked number 30. Number 29 is Kevin Hart.
All right. I will say this. I don't seek him out. He has made me giggle in the past.
Yeah.
That's a night I don't want to talk about.
No, you shouldn't. Don't.
He was on SNL one time, and I laughed at something he did.
Yeah.
Granted, he probably didn't write it, but his delivery was funny. I don't really have a feeling about him one way or the other.
Now, for the purpose of this particular ranking, they're only counting their stand-up material. They're counting them as stand-up comedians.
That's it.
Not actors, not performers on various shows.
Have you never seen him do stand-up?
No. All right. So he's ranked number 29th. I kind of disagree.
You think he should be lower?
By 13,000 spots. Number 28, Aziz Ansari.
I love him.
I like him, too.
I think he's super funny.
He's right now, he's still in comedy limbo.
Yeah.
Because of a date gone wrong.
Although I thought that kind of did not incriminate him. Like, more evidence came out to say that maybe it wasn't true.
It's a he said, she said situation.
I guess.
He just thought that it was a date that didn't go quite like what she had hoped. She says that he was a lot more forceful than he should have been.
Mm.
So because of this, we have seen very little of him in the last 2 years. He's starting to materialize again. He just did some clubs. I don't know about this last weekend, but the weekend before.
Yeah, pop-up show, and he talked about the, he addressed the sexual misconduct allegations during that pop-up show.
I give him credit, because that's a hard thing. I mean, if you're there for a night of comedy, it's very hard to talk about that, and yet, that's what Louis C.K. has been criticized for over and over and over again, is that when he now does stand-up, not only does he not address it, but he still says things that if you were in his situation, you should probably avoid. You know.
Yeah, but Aziz didn't really make a joke. He said,
"No, he didn't."
He just addressed the sexual misconduct allegations made against him last year. It made me think about a lot, and I hope I've become a better person.
Yeah,
that really, honestly, is all that needs to be said, just so it's not glossed over. It needs to be brought up.
You know, nowhere, because I've read this account of him saying that, but it never says if he brings it up at the beginning, middle, or end of his set. You know,
during his recent set at the Village Underground, Ansari brought up sexual misconduct allegations using a joke centered around someone mistaking him for comedian Hasan Minhaj and his show Patriot Act.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, the comedian's tone changed as he brought up the aforementioned allegations. He explained that he had avoided bringing it up in the past because he wanted to take the time to figure out what he wanted to say. Secondly, he confessed that it was a scary thing to talk about. Here's a quote. There were times, these pop-up ads. There were times I felt really upset and humiliated and embarrassed, and ultimately I just felt terrible this person felt this way. But, you know, after a year, how I feel about it is I hope it was a step forward. It made me think about a lot, and I hope I've become a better person.
What do you think? Seems heartfelt.
I think, yes.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
And I don't know if there's
personally
a right way to address it, but you do need to address it, because if you're doing stand up and your basis is any kind of truth, and his,
usually,
like Louis
is,
C.K.'s,
yeah,
is, then by not addressing it, you're doing a horrible disservice to yourself and to the people who came to see you.
I agree.
You need to address it. So
I told you need to be a consultant to the comics.
I'm gonna set up. Remember how Lucy had the booth?
Charge more than 5 cents, though, will you?
I can't charge much more than 5 cents, Wendy.
Was it 5 cents?
Yeah.
Okay.
The psychiatrist is in. Sometimes,
yes,
it would say is way in. Love it. Number 27. These are the top stand-up comedians of all time, according to newarena.com. Margaret Cho. Number 27.
I sort of liked her when she first came out. I haven't heard or seen from her in a while, and I don't have any opinion.
I always think she's good. I've never been blown away by her, but I always do think she's good. There's no way I would ever rank her the 27th
no.
best stand-up comic of all time. There's always a couple of thought-provoking things. There's always a bunch of clever things. It's always enjoyable, but I've never gone, Margaret Cho is coming.
Yeah, I know her, nor have I.
So that might be a little high on the ranking. Number 26 is Patton Oswalt.
I love him so much. I've seen his stand-up just on videos, and he's pretty good. I love it. I can't do his voice, but a very unique. I like him in sitcoms more than I like his stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
And he's on ton of them.
Right. King of Queens for a while. He's done voiceover work for several.
The Goldbergs. He's the voiceover for. Yeah. He's little Adam Goldberg.
Yeah. His stand-up is. I will give him this. A lot of guys, when they do stand-up, were easy to steal from. Were and are easy to steal from. You almost can't possibly steal from him because it's so personal, and the range of topics is so bizarre that if you did try to steal from him, anyone who heard it would go, you stole that directly from Patton Oswalt. It's so unique to him, you know?
Well, that means originality, so that means something.
High marks for that. He does this whole long thing about how they used to name flowers. He goes to there's some botanical garden, and he's looking at the names of flowers, and it's how they came up with those names of flowers hundreds of years ago. And as I'm watching it, not only is it really funny, you just go, you can't steal this. This is theft proof. Good for him. You know?
Well, so, still, should he be in that ranked position?
The 26th funniest stand-up comic of all time is very hard. I'd put him in the top 100.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Right?
Yeah.
But I will say his fans are so feverish to him and love him so much that they would be upset that he's not number four or number five, you know?
Well, those are his fans. Right. We have fans, too.
Right. Who are they again? Sarah Silverman is number 25.
She should be up higher.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I mean, she really won me over. She was just dirty, but she's funny dirty.
Takes a lot of chances.
She does. I enjoy that.
Yep. You will notice as time goes on that though they say, well, there are more men, but think about the ratio of men who do stand-up comedy to women.
Yeah, I guess.
So it would almost pay off. It's an extremely, the whole list, I give them credit for it being very diverse. There's people of all backgrounds on the list, but they do tend to favor modern day. There's only a couple of like classic all-time funniest comics on the list. There's a couple of them, not too many. One of them is number 24, Phyllis Diller, who I know you're a huge fan of.
Just love her.
Yeah.
She did not care what she said. She just wanted that laugh.
Right.
And she was funny.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. Number 23, one of my all-time heroes, Albert Brooks, number 23.
It's funny.
He came out of an area like you when he first hit the scene, you never knew what he was going to do. He was so unpredictable. You saw him on The Tonight Show, I'm guessing, where he had created a puppet out of like a CNC, and all the answers that the puppet could do were only letters.
Oh, I do remember
that, yes. Right? Very funny stuff. He also did the thing about not, this was on The Tonight Show one night, the things he won't do for comedy. This isn't me. I would never do this. This isn't me. And at some point he pulled his shirt off and he had a clown's face written on his chest and he put whipped cream all over himself.
That's funny.
I would never do that for a laugh. It's not me. Love Albert Brooks. He's number 23.
He's really funny.
Number 22, Jonathan Winters, getting a second mention on today's show.
Jonathan Winters was great. You know, I was just talking to, God, who was I sitting? I think my son Michael, he's 19, so it's a different, a view of things. But we were watching, Henny Youngman and Rodney Dangerfield, and Michael's theory was, they just weren't really that funny. They just were up there doing one-liners and take my wife, please.
Right.
You know, I could see where he would think that. But back then, there weren't a lot of people doing that, were there?
It was much more formulaic back then. So a guy could literally do exactly that. Just do one-liner after one-liner after one-liner. Today, somebody who did that, it could still work. But I think now we want to know who the person is. We don't just want one-liners.
Because I think it was featured on The Kids Are All Right, Henny Youngman, one of the younger kids was trying to do that act.
Yeah.
And
good
so
luck.
They showed Henny Youngman and this kid, you know, not one of the Kids Are All Right kids, but it was someone else, had the violin and, you know, and Michael's like, that's just not funny.
Right.
And I said, well, it was then. Maybe we didn't have a lot to compare it to.
Yeah.
Is that it?
It was more the style back then.
I guess, yeah.
To just do that. You know, you weren't really finding out anything. No, after watching Henny Youngman, you weren't finding out anything that you didn't know about Henny Youngman.
Well,
you
were except just he hearing, didn't like his wife.
Doctor, it hurts when I go like this. Don't go like that. Right. I want a second opinion. You're ugly, too. It would just be
right.
One after another after another after another of those. So, yes, you'd be laughing for 7 or 8 minutes. But then when it was done, you didn't know anything more about Henny Youngman.
And then Rodney took kind of that same approach many years later.
It took the same approach, but then advanced it to he was the world's underdog.
Right.
He was the guy that just obviously couldn't get any respect. So there was a breakthrough there. There was a new level there. But it was the same. You knew as he was telling you those jokes, none of those things happened.
Right.
They were just stories that didn't really happen, you know? All right, so number 22 is Jonathan Winters, who...
He was great.
Yeah, genius.
Weird.
Genius. such a troubled mind. I mean, he was one of those first guys that, like, the more you knew about him, the more you realize he really was borderline psychotic, but it worked to his advantage on stage.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was locked up a couple of times, you know?
In a psychiatric ward or prison? Really?
Yeah,
psychiatric ward. I didn't know that
ward.
Either.
Yeah,
a documentary about him, and why not if there isn't?
I don't think there is. I don't think so.
I'd like to see it.
He's such an interesting guy. I only met him once.
Certifiably Jonathan, 2007.
Oh, there is? Oh, I didn't know that. I've got to find it.
It's a mockumentary. And so, never mind.
No. He was a guest on Oprah Winfrey's show. My friend Mike called up and said, let's go see Jonathan Winters at Oprah Winfrey. So we went over, we saw him, and then when he was done doing the hour with Oprah, he hung around and people could come by and say hello. So we waited in line, and there were two women in front of us, and one of them said, Jonathan, we know that you're going to be in town for, because he said during the show, I'm going to be in town for 4 days. So they said, what are you going to do with your free time? And he said, well, this morning, before I came here, I went to Crock and Brentano's, which was a bookstore.
Yeah, I loved it.
He said, and I applied for a job there, and they just called me. I got the job. So when I'm done here, I'm going to go to Crock and Brentano's. And one of the ladies goes, what are you going to do there? And he goes, just sort books. I'm going to work in the back, and I'm going to sort books. And my friend and I were laughing because we knew he was kidding, but the two women were buying every word of it. And he kept looking at us and winking. And every question they asked him about it, he had an answer for. And it was just—it was magic just to watch him lie to people.
That's pretty funny.
But with no—I mean, there was a second of holding back. He, like, whatever they said, you know. Well, why would you just do it for 4 days? Well, I have to move on. I'm going to be in Philadelphia next week. I'll apply for a job in Philadelphia and see what comes up. Good for him.
We're going to have to fly through these last.
Oh,
ones.
All right. 21. Ellen DeGeneres.
Love her stand up, and funny. I just love her.
Yep. Number 20, David Letterman.
Pretty funny.
You know, we know him as the host of Late Night with David Letterman, but before he got that, he was just a stand-up and really, really, really good.
Yeah, pretty
really
funny.
Good. Number 19, Bob Newhart.
Boy, that guy was something else.
The amazing thing about Bob Newhart, are you okay? Can we do some of these today and the rest tomorrow or
sure.
Wednesday or something? Because there's a couple of these I can't race through. Bob Newhart had a couple of comedy albums that are the best of all time, most notably The Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart. Forever when I would hear that album, and I've heard it 100 times in my life, I'd say to myself, these are bits that he obviously honed and perfected over years and years and years, and then when we heard them on the album, they were at their best because he spent years making sure that every joke fit in right. I then find out that those were the first time, the things you hear on that album, that's the first time he did them in public.
What?
That he wrote all new material for this record and did it for the album. And it doesn't make sense because the timing is just so perfect. He never did them before.
His stand-up, I mean, now, didn't he do stand-up on The Tonight Show and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, sure.
Because that's what I thought was funny. I mean, that's what got me to laugh at him on, like, the Bob Newhart show.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when you think about it, I don't know, he wasn't as funny then, but since I knew what he was like, that
yeah.
made me like him and sucked me into, like, oh, that was brilliant.
They did a great job of capturing he's kind of an everyman,
yes.
but he's a put-upon everyman. You know, the world doesn't treat him quite right sometimes. And he's just so, I love him. Love him.
If I may just say, since we're going to talk about this tomorrow, too, Certifiably Jonathan was done in 2007. Director James David Pasternak, a famous comedian and artist, want to display his work at an art museum. Just when he thinks he's lost his touch, a series of famous comedians drop by to help him rekindle his artistic and comedic spark. It's star-studded. Jonathan Winters, Robin Williams, Howie Mandel, Nora Dunn, Sarah Silverman, Tim Conway, Jeffrey Tambor, Jimmy Kimmel, Robert Klein, Rob Reiner, Ryan Stiles. I don't know who that is.
Ryan Stiles was on Drew Carey's show and on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Kevin Dunn, David Arquette, Patricia Arquette, Rosanna Arquette, the whole Arquette family. So it's just crazy out there, but it's gotten mixed reviews. Some people think it stinks, but it still might be interesting.
It's quite a lineup.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys. There's nobody good in the world of comedy that doesn't respect Jonathan Winters. It's just impossible because he just put his mind on a chair every time he took the stage. He just put his brain on a chair and let it go. So if you're a good stand-up comic, you can't not respect him.
Why are the Arquettes in there? Is that because Charlie Weaver was their grandfather?
Charlie Weaver was, Cliff Arquette was his real name, was a friend of Jonathan Winters from the Hollywood Squares days.
Okay, so that's why. Because I'm like, why is the whole Arquette family in there?
Yeah, they were close.
Because you're talking about stand-up.
None of them really stand-ups, no.
All right.
No.
Well, that's called Certifiably Jonathan.
I've never heard of this before. I got to find that.
Okay.
He's so good. All right. We'll do a couple more today, and then we'll finish it off either tomorrow or Wednesday. Number 18 is Bob Hope. Now, even though the Bob Hope that you and I know was an old Bob Hope who was just kind of running on fumes, there was a time where he was the top-notch comedian in America. He just was.
I've seen old footage of it, and it's funny. Again, I have to put four back then.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, it didn't 100% stand up watching it now with what's available out there today.
But here's what he was really good at. Now, keep this in mind. To my knowledge, he never wrote a joke once in his life. He paid writers to write jokes.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So with that being said, he had this weird way of knowing exactly what would work with whatever audience. Like, at some point, he would go entertain troops overseas. So he knew what worked with
that audience.
I loved
that part about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
he was in dangerous parts of the world.
And pretty much started that up,
yeah.
Didn't he? Wasn't he one of the first?
I think
one
of the, with the USO shows, yeah. So he knew how to play to them as opposed to an Academy Awards audience, as opposed to a dinner banquet audience,
yeah.
As opposed to, I mean, he was really masterful at knowing.
Work the room. That was his thing.
He was
thing.
So good at that. He really was. So even though, I mean, you go, like toward the end, he was doing those specials and they were so awful. The writing wasn't good and he was just reading stuff off of cards. But if you see him in the 1940s versions of Bob Hope, wow. You know, I give him huge credit. 17, we talked about him a little bit earlier, Rodney Dangerfield.
Rodney made me laugh, but that was a time, again, it's almost like up to a certain point, comics had their shtick and that was it. It was just,
right.
It worked or it didn't,
right.
And you're right, we didn't get to know anything. It wasn't anything personal.
Right. So he started to bridge that gap a little bit by having not just the jokes, but he had that persona of somebody whose wife didn't respect him, his friends didn't
right.
respect him, nobody respected him.
Yeah, I get no respect.
Yeah.
Was he the precursor to like a, where was he in the relation to like a George Carlin or Richard Pryor?
Oh boy.
Before, after, about the same time?
About the same time originally. So he became popular for a while, and then it just kind of faded away a little bit for various reasons. He wasn't TV pretty, so even though he would come on TV, he wasn't fun to look
yeah.
at. But then a second generation of people not only found him, but made him more popular than he was in his first go-around. Like, there was a gap there of 7 or 8 or 9 years.
And then where Caddyshack or whatever,
Caddyshack
that's what
played
put him on
a huge role in it. Huge role in it. So without that, I don't know that he would have been the household name that he became the
yeah.
second time around. Then, because it was the early days of HBO, they gave him these HBO Young Comedian specials.
Yeah, I remember that.
So that opened... right. Richard Lewis, what? What are you doing? So he would host those, and that was a whole new audience. You know, the people who liked him in Caddyshack. Oh, that's the guy from Caddyshack. So
I'll say a little of him goes a long way. I'll say it that way.
With Rodney, yeah.
Yeah. But he made me laugh.
There's other stuff I want to say, but we're out of time. All right, we'll either finish this tomorrow or Wednesday, because we haven't gotten to the top 16 yet, the sweet 16, as we call them in stand-up
yes.
comedy. All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll close things off. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, that does it for us, Bill. I am sorry we didn't finish your list.
We'll do it tomorrow or Wednesday.
Yeah, just
I want to say tomorrow,
stream.
But, you know, what if something pressing comes up? So, fallback plan Wednesday, but probably tomorrow. I just don't want, you know, it's President's Day. I don't want to race through it on President's Day.
I agree with you.
What if Warren G. Harding is listening? He's a huge Jonathan Winters fan. I don't want him to feel like we shortchanged him.
His grandson, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, Warren G.'s gone.
Okay.
Sadly. All right, that's it for today's show. Have a happy and safe President's Day,
Thank you.
To you and to all the listeners, everybody. And we'll try this again tomorrow. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.